Hey, y'all, if you guys want to come hang out, we're going to be at the New York City's second annual Mid-Autumn Festival this Saturday, September 30th. And we're bringing a bunch of friends. Yummy Mayer is going to be there. Dan Yang and Lee Allen Lee are going to join us. Things might get a little crazy. Tickets are available on Eventbrite. If you search under NYC Mid-Autumn Festival 2023, you can also check out the Instagram account at Mid-Autumn Fest. Again, that's at Mid-Autumn Fest. Again, we'll be there, but there'll be a full day of music, dance performances, a self-defense workshop, lantern lighting, and a night market. Our comedy shows are at around 6 o'clock, but come for the whole day, and it's a lot of fun. It's all AAPI artists and creators. Again, that's this Saturday, September 30th. All the ticket proceeds are going to a fundraiser for Choi Commons, an Asian American farming collective that supplies produce to New York City restaurants and nonprofits like Heart of Dinner. If you can't make it, donate to show your support to the community. The link's on the Instagram. Again, that's at Mid-Autumn Fest. See you there. As a guy, if I couldn't do something, I would just get more aggressive about it. We just like do it harder. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, let's just say for comedy, like if I don't feel good about comedy, I'll just do way more comedy.
I'll just
do it harder. Welcome to another episode of the Asian Not Asian podcast, the podcast with all your favorite Asian friends. I'm one of the hosts. I'm Mike Nguyen.
I'm Jenny Arimoto.
And it is a beautiful day in New York City.
Fall is officially here, I feel.
It's like summer is like thrashing about in its death throes.
I mean, Mike is wearing a fleece vest. So you know that we're heading towards some 60 degree weather.
That's how you know. I'm like
keep that core warm.
What's that? Puxatawny Phil. I'm like,
oh, yeah, you're my Puxatawny Phil.
Yeah.
Just yeah. See your outfits. Yeah.
Yeah. If you go to a hip cafe in Brooklyn, mm-hmm. and you see Mike Nguyen in a vest, 6 more weeks of winter. That's how you
Very
know.
Very scary. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, no. There's a hipster Asian guy with a fleece vest on. Now it's going to be cold. Thank you for joining us. It's going to be a real fun one. We're going to get right into it. Oh, shoot. We can keep going. We can do this real quick.
Yeah.
Because I do want to... Well, hold on here. You've worn this t-shirt before. I was going to do some fit checks.
My fit check is boring.
Your fit check, but it's cute.
I'm wearing my Rina Sawayama shirt.
Yep.
And my Uniqlo trousers that I bought in Japan, so they fit my leg inseam very well.
Yo.
And my Asics.
Yeah, that's what's
I'm
up.
I'm keeping it cash today.
But I think it's... You know what? I think as this podcast has been going on, there has become a Jenny Arimoto look, which I think other people are starting to wear.
There's no way.
I swear to fucking God.
There's no way.
Our guest today has a very similar fit on.
I think I'm going towards the guest, to be honest.
Oh, are you? No, I think it's like there's a look, you know, and you are an unsung... sex symbol of the podcast.
Oh, thank
The haircut,
you.
The hair, I feel, as the hair
it's
has
long.
Changed,
it's
other people's
long.
Hair.
Yeah.
You know?
As my hair has changed, other people's hair has changed.
Yeah.
That's not just natural. It's
no.
just me.
That's
yeah.
just that's that,
it's me doing
are,
that. Yeah.
You're the Kim Kardashian of our tiny little
Ooh.
World.
Woo!
The looks!
Woo!
For everyone who's joining us, from some quick announcements, if you love what you're hearing, and I think a lot of you do, then please support us on Patreon. It's patreon.com/AsianNotAsianPod. It's the best way to support the podcast. And we give everyone who contributes a little shout out on here, and we kind of just, you know, make some shit up about you in a good way. We use it based entirely on your name. And this one, woo, this is going to be just, I have no idea what to do with this one. Okay. The name for today's Patreon subscriber is... Are you ready?
Yeah.
Jennifer Smith. Jennifer Smith.
No way. It's a mannequin. Wow. Jennifer Smith.
Wow.
That is a 90s name.
That is a 90s. That is a 90s. Yeah. That's a
90s name.
That's an American Pie name.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, it's Stifler. and Jennifer Smith.
I mean, I just imagine like the teenager in like a movie that came out in like 1992.
Yes.
So this is a teenager from a movie that came out in 1992.
Okay.
She has like the bangs that are like this and like Teen Witch. Was that 80s? Like Teen Witch energy.
Mm-hmm.
Like a sitcom character that like is like the hot one that the nerdy son is into.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, I have a crush on Jennifer Smith.
And then she comes out and she's like throwing her hair and stuff like that.
And like, there's Jennifer.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And she's wearing, what do people wear?
And she's always nice. She's always like, hey, Kevin.
Hey, how's it going? She's like the girl next door.
Yeah, she's like, hey, Kevin, you coming to the party? He's like, I wasn't invited. She's like, oh, you should come.
Wow, that's you're really good at that.
Thank you. I kind of write.
Have you thought
comedy.
About ever, becoming, you know, a Jennifer Smith stock character?
Yeah, I know. Maybe I should do that.
Yeah,
I love that era, like that type of movie.
So, are we saying though? Are we thinking she's more like approachable lacrosse player?
Yeah,
or more
she's like she's approachable. Field hockey player.
Field hockey, that's the one.
Yeah, she's a approachable field hockey player. That was when she was younger.
Right
now, she's just like the cool mom.
Whoa.
Yeah. Raising other. Cool field hockey, players. Type.
Yes. Yes. And her daughter's name is... And I'm trying to think of a cool name.
A
cool name for the daughter of Jennifer Smith.
Olivia.
Okay, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Like Olivia Rodrigo.
Okay. It is Olivia Rodrigo's mom.
It's Olivia Rodrigo's mom.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Jennifer Smith, for giving us Olivia Rodrigo. Yeah. And then also giving us some Patreon. If you want to get up on this, again, that's patreon.com/AsianNotAsianPod. We love seeing the support. It means a lot. Just a second ago, this is legit. As we're setting up in the booth here, I don't know if people know where we record. It is a secret sometimes.
Yeah.
But we record inside a Canal Street Market in the back here. And sometimes people will come up to us and be like, are you the Asian Not Asian podcast? And we're like, yes, we are. And that literally just happened to us just now. This very nice gentleman named June came up to us and said hello. And
shout out.
We were very excited. Any feedback you get as a comedian.
I know. When it's positive.
Yeah.
Is really nice.
Yeah. I mean, I'll take negative.
Yeah,
too.
I won't take negative.
Because at least you heard me. You
know? And I'm like, no.
Yeah, no. So give me all the negative comments and give Jenny all of the positive comments.
Yes, only the positive.
So
it means a lot.
Mean a lot. It means the world to us for you to support us, and it's wonderful.
It's changing the trajectory of how honest I'm going to be today. That interaction changed the trajectory of this episode.
So as you listen to what kind of Asian Jenny was today, just remember this story could have been way more boring.
I know. Okay? I was about to keep some stuff off mic, and here we go.
But you know what? June was like, came
it.
Up and was like, you know
so
what?
Nice.
You've healed me. You know, you've turned me into a man. And, you know, you made me who I am. And so
that's absolutely not what June said, but that's what I took away from it.
Yeah. And it matters. So we're going to get into it with our guest today. Our guest is a comedy writer and performer, has written for The Onion, The New Yorker's Shouts and Murmurs, The Times. I didn't know about that. New York Times, The Washington Post. Yeah, that's not that great. No. McSweeney's Reductress. Her writing has been included in The New Yorker's yearly roundup of the most popular human pieces.
Ooh.
And published in the McSweeney's Humor Anthology. Keep scrolling until you feel something. She's a performer and storyteller. Also, give it up for Gigi Lee.
Hey, what's up? I'm so excited to be here.
Yo,
I'm
very excited to have you on the show.
I'm a fan of the pod.
You, are you?
Yeah. That's, so when you...
I know, when I talked about my thing, she knew what I was talking about.
Really?
Yeah, she has
like,
all the context.
I know all the backstory.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's amazing. Makes my life easier.
And so when I got the invitation, I was like trying to play it really chill. I was like,
really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
But I'm
that.
Always overeager, like, even when I try to be casual. I was like,
I love it.
I saw some... You get published all the time. And so you're always like putting on your Instagram... And it's super funny, and I always read it. And for a while, this is when I had what I call toxic Asian comedy for a while.
Uh-huh.
Because I would always see your post and be really jealous. Because I've submitted to McSweeney's like 30 times, and they've taken my work twice.
Oh.
Which I think is very
so
nice.
You've been on McSweeney's?
I've been on McSweeney's.
Okay.
Which was a big deal, but then... I don't know if you feel this way, but lately, at least when I was still submitting, for some reason, the only thing McSweeney would post is like I'm a graduate student. Here's my graduate student jokes. And I'm like, I don't got any of these things.
I don't get it. Yeah, it's a lot of like parenting humor or like
parenting humor. I could do parenting humor.
But like I had been submitting for like literally, I think 10 years before
really?
I got my first
Oh my God. I know.
I think I submitted my first one. Jesus, like before I moved to New York, like in 2008, I had like a, like, oh, here's a funny idea. And I wrote it up and I sent it and what's nice is they do get back to you each time and they go, no.
And they go, no. Yeah.
And they're very nice about it.
Yeah. Yeah, they are nice about it.
Not for us.
Yeah, so it was, they always say, oh, no, not for us. And actually, I remember emailing the guy back and going, what, you know, have any pointers? And he was very straightforward.
That's so great that you did that you like...
That I responded? Well, because I was an insecure guy. I mean, I still am, but I asked him, well, what could I do? And he said, Or like, what was wrong with it, I guess? And he was like, oh, I just didn't laugh enough. And I was like, huh, at least it's... Okay. I don't know. I was like, at least that's straightforward enough.
Fair.
I was like, okay, you know? Yeah. And then, I didn't write again for like 10 more years.
Yeah.
he crushed my dreams. And then I started. And then it really was just a grind of just like coming it up with stuff and setting. So every time I saw you post, I was like, this talented woman... keeps getting published.
But just like everyone else, like it took like 10 years of like, oh my God, how do I write a sentence? How do I think of a premise? Like, and like so much like no before I finally got like, oh, okay, we'll take this. And I was like, I thought they were like lying.
Really?
It was like a prank. I was like, okay, cool, thanks.
But now you're regular on there and you're like in the anthologies, which is like,
I think once you break the seal, it like, I think starts to like click into place maybe.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Do you have any pointers for people who are like, say, a 40-something Vietnamese guy
who's trying to... That's just an example.
Just as an example. Yeah. Like maybe he's wearing a really sweet fleece today.
Wearing a cap that says Ralph on it.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, definitely like read the site like often, I think, regularly. Which is like, I know it sounds like
that's
obvious,
that's
but like,
really important.
But I mean, I would not like read it regularly and I'd be like, hey, why aren't I not getting this stuff on it? But I think just like reading regularly and then like, I think writing and submitting. Because I would only like, I would submit like for 10 years and get rejected, but I would write one piece.
Exactly.
A year.
Right.
You just have to keep pitching.
So much of it is just a numbers game where you're just like, you just gotta
It's like
statistics. It's practice.
Yeah.
God, I hate it when people
Not to put myself over there. I was like, yeah, I got it.
You've been in McSweeney's.
I've not been in McSweeney's, but I've done The New Yorker.
Oh, that's right.
Funny pieces.
Oh my God, thank you.
I haven't been in The New Yorker yet either. God, I hate it when people have practical advice, you know?
It got real too fast.
It was just like, I was like,
too fast.
Oh, you mean try and do homework?
Yeah.
And maybe you'll actually get it based on your hard work. I don't like that at all. That's terrible. We do this sometimes, and we want our guests, our listeners to know who you are. So we're going to give you a minute. And I wore my digital watch today.
Oh, to prepare for this.
So it's even more accurate.
Yeah.
So you have a minute to tell us about yourself.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
You can go anywhere you want.
This is like the moth. Sorry.
Oh, is it?
It is.
Okay. Well, you get 5 minutes, but yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to give you 5 minutes. That's way too long. So a minute, I think, you got it to... talk about yourself and you can go.
Oh, right now? Okay. My name is Gigi. I'm 5'1". I'm like starting with the basics. I wear glasses. I love tennis. I can't play tennis though. I recently moved to Maryland. I've been living in the city for like 25 years.
Oh my God.
And before that, I lived in Miami. So I've only lived in 3 cities my entire life.
Okay.
I think. Oh, and then I guess if you count Seoul, where I was born.
Oh, wow.
I'm covering a lot of ground here, I think. my husband's name is Patrick. If I could come back in another life, I think I'd like to be a tennis player, maybe.
Oh.
Yeah. Because I feel like you get to travel all over the world. I feel like that's like 90% of what tennis is, right?
Yeah.
And then 10% of like physical strength and coordination.
Yeah,
and stuff like that.
You still got like 10 seconds.
Oh, okay. my shirt is from Muji.
Oh.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
you really went a totally different place.
You didn't talk about like the what you do part, which is almost what everyone
what
does
everyone
first.
Usually goes.
Oh,
you,
okay.
You went with physical description first.
And then what you wish you could do.
So we still have no idea anything about you at all.
I would be a tennis player.
Like I guess that's like where my brain goes. It's very scattered and like fantasy oriented.
Love that.
I actually feel that I've read a bunch of articles about what it's like to be a tennis player, and it seems actually very similar to being a comedian, where there's a tiny crust of people who actually make money, and those people make a ton of money.
Right.
It's like it's like Rafa and
like Federer.
Exactly. Serena, they make all of the money. Mm-hmm. And then literally there's like a big crust of people who are professionals touring and they're like barely making any money. And then there's everybody else who's like losing money.
And they're taking like economy flight. They're doing like whatever the low, what's basic economy.
Yeah. They can only take one racket. They have to stay on their with their friend's couch on their friend's couches.
Yeah, literally.
That's crazy.
Wow.
That's what you want.
But you already got it.
No, hold on. You already got it. You're a comedian.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm basically living that life. No money, no sponsorships.
Not even any traveling.
Yeah, I'm taking the Vamoose bus.
I think that's great. Well, you are a comedy writer and performer, and we want to talk to you about that. And also, you are a drama Asian, a drama student.
I started off as a drama Asian,
Where did you go to? You went to school?
I grew up in Miami, and I went to performing arts high school called New World School of the Arts.
Oh, okay. My God.
It's pretty famous.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen Moonlight, the movie, but the original Moonlight, it was a play, and the playwright went to my high school.
Oh, wow.
So that's like my claim to fame is like, I know him.
You know him.
Wow, really?
But I don't think he remembers who I am, though.
That doesn't matter.
But don't
the
tell
facts
him. Don't
are
tell
facts.
Him. Yeah.
But before we get into that, we want to do our usual segment, which is what kind of Asian were you this week? And I guess I'll start. Mine is chill.
Okay. Mike, what kind of Asian were you this week?
I was a birthday Asian.
Yeah, Mike.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Oh my gosh, happy birthday.
Last week. I'm clapping.
That energy you gave me just now.
Yeah.
I'm like
crouching.
You're like upset that good job, eh. What are you, from Boston? What the fuck was that?
I was in Boston. I think it rubbed off. Okay.
Yeah, you were, huh?
How was it? How was your birthday?
Well, it's today.
Wait, today's your birthday?
It's the actual day.
I forgot. It was last week.
Well, happy birthday.
It was,
you know what?
Yeah.
I knew this because you're in my calendar, and also when we booked Gigi, I emailed and I said, oh my God, it's Mike's birthday.
Yeah.
I forgot, but
and
I thought it was last
week. I did it because Gigi doesn't live here, and she was like, I'll be in the city. And
so
I was like, all right, I gotta do it.
Gosh, Mike, happy birthday. Sorry, I had a chaotic morning. You're going to find out why.
You're going to find out why in a second.
So you're a Virgo Asian, too. Then,
oh,
right?
Yes. I'm a Virgo.
My God.
I'm a Virgo.
I have so many Virgos. I just went to a Virgo birthday party.
Yeah.
But we were talking about Virgos. And I don't think you're exactly that way, but...
What was it again? What are the things?
It's like very practical, very like detail-oriented.
Yeah, detail. Oh, I have a lot of Virgo in my chart, but I'm not in my main three. But like, I think you can tell. Like,
I see.
Very like grounded or like... we're talking about how Virgos tend to like set goals.
Okay.
And then like go towards those goals. Like just like very practical, like trying to get things done.
Like strong work ethic.
Yeah.
I think I'm Virgo rising, so I like Virgos. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm none of those things.
I will say you're not really those things.
No. Yeah. What am I more like?
But you do set goals, though.
I do try to set goals, and then I immediately just start.
But it's just the goal shift.
Yeah. And I start scrolling on Instagram and just get depressed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have that. What is that one? What is the scrolling on Instagram
and
get depressed?
That's just being a comedian.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm that.
It's so depressing.
No.
Anyways, but birthday. Happy birthday.
Yes. Thank you very much.
How are you celebrating?
I'm here.
How are you feeling?
Oh, I feel so old, man. I'm going to lose both of you guys in a second now because I'm starting to talk about jujitsu right now.
Oh,
so.
We haven't talked about jujitsu in a second.
We haven't.
It is your birthday.
It is
so
my
we'll
birthday. This is
happen.
What I want for my birthday.
All my
to
guy
talk about.
Friends obsessed with jujitsu.
It's the best fucking sport in the world. Ooh,
here we go.
Okay, so I'll try to make it so that it's relatable to just like aging, but like. Okay, so when I started jiu-jitsu, I was like in my... I really started in my 20s, but like I really started practicing in my 30s. Like I was like 32 or something. And when you're that age, you still have like some of the, fire that, you can still like keep up with younger people. But now I was training this week and there's all these younger dudes and I never realized how... muscular young men are. There was this other Asian dude and he was probably like my size But he just had giant biceps. And I was like, I could never have this anymore. I could never work my body up to this kind of lather again. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I rolled with him and I rolled with this other guy who had this sweet mustache.
Okay.
And they're just like, I was like, I am dying. Uh-huh. I'm getting crushed here. And I realized I had to make a shift where before I was going to be like, okay, I can just be really aggressive and use jiu-jitsu and be really aggressive in this mindset. And now it's more like, I am going to just sit down. I'm just going to sit down, and that's my fighting style, is sitting down.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? And then make the other person come to me and then continue to sit down and then maybe lie down.
Yeah.
And that's now my new reality, which is don't get hurt. Don't let the mustache guy turn you into knots. And if I can just leave in the same condition that I walked in.
Yeah, that's a success.
That's a success. Uh-huh. But it's such a weird change because for a long time, this is going to sound real stupid guy thing. You could just turn up the aggression to make up for any deficiencies you have.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You could just be like, well, I don't know what I'm doing, so I'm just going to do it way harder, faster. But now I don't have that anymore. And it's such a weird shift in your mind as a guy to not have that avenue because now I have to actually think and I'm like, this is so weird. I don't have to do this. Usually I can just get more aggro, but I don't have that anymore. I lost you guys.
I don't know. I don't know the aggro part, but I understand the part of you have to change the expectations of yourself.
Yes. You have to change your expectations and it's, you don't have your usual thing, you know what I'm saying? I never realized that as a guy, if I couldn't do something, I would just get more aggressive about it, right?
Okay, yeah.
And that's a very big avenue for a lot of men.
I didn't know that.
You know what I'm saying? We don't know we're doing it, but if we're deficient in, for example, our relationships, we just try I don't know, you know what I'm saying? Not necessarily even get mad, we just do it harder. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And now I don't have that. And it's been something I've been trying to think about. Let's just say for comedy, if I don't feel good about comedy, I'll just do way more comedy.
I'll just
do it harder. Right. And even if it means I'm getting drunk way more, or I'm making bad decisions, right? That's an avenue for a lot of men. You know, it's a very testosterone-y avenue.
Yes, yes.
But I don't have that anymore.
You don't have the desire to.
I don't have that. I don't. I don't have the desire. I don't think I could withstand doing it. I couldn't. I can't just I think a lot of men will sacrifice our health and that kind of thing for an incremental gain somewhere else. Mm. Does that make sense? Mm. Yeah.
I don't have aggression. Is not something that I.
Yeah.
Often
no. For
have,
sure. I
can.
Yeah.
Tell from my vibe. So that's why I was stopped, because I was like, I don't know how to relate to the aggression to make up for what you're lacking part, but I do understand I cannot keep doing
the
same avenues in which I let myself let things out or succeed is not the same as you get older.
Right. And just another stupid thing. I used to do a thing when I was for my birthday. I would try to close a bar. Which just means I just stay at the bar until it closes, right? Which is in New York City, it's four
late
in the morning.
Right. I haven't stayed up that late ever.
It's super late. And it was fun for me. And now I don't want to do that because I would die.
Right.
And I want to wake up in time to see my son.
Yeah.
And so that's a new thing, I was hanging out with my son this morning and we were watching Bluey. And it was amazing.
Aww.
And it's a new avenue of whatever. I just totally a different thing from just getting aggro. So it's that kind of birthday for me. It's been like that a few times, but really I noticed it in particular this week. That was something different. So it's been interesting.
Yeah, but you can still do jiu-jitsu.
I still can.
So that rules.
It's amazing. It's amazing. It's just
that's a high impact.
You just might be a little more sore. Sorry.
Yeah.
I will be more sore and I will still just be I don't know. Have you ever noticed how muscular men are? It's crazy to me.
Well, they're not the ones around me, so. We're a bunch of nerds.
Do you do Brazilian jiu-jitsu or jiu-jitsu? Okay.
Yeah, Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Yeah.
My guy friend's also into Brazilian jiu-jitsu. What? He posts a lot of, and I was like, what is it about Brazilian jiu-jitsu? That's like.
It's just so, yeah, we'll get it. I don't want to lose you guys anymore.
I was about to ask a question, and then I stopped myself because I was like, do I need to know more about jiu-jitsu?
No, I'll wait until it's a bunch of other meatheads and stuff like that, and we can talk about that. But that was me. That was what kind of Asian
Happy
I was. As
birthday,
a, thank
though.
You so much. Yeah, so
I should have brought a tree. I'm sorry.
You don't have to do anything.
Maybe this is a good cue. I stopped by Muji, which is my favorite store.
Oh my god! I know two Muji. Plus.
And I was like, what's like a good little Asian treat?
So oh my god!
I just got like some like highlighter.
Oh my god!
Yo, hold on here.
When I go to Muji, I always stock up on like.
This is
wait, is this for us?
Yeah. Are you for real? Thank you so much. I love Muji.
Hold on, can I hold on here? So if you're on watching on YouTube, you can see on the camera we have these highlighters. This is the most Asian gift I've ever gotten.
I love it. Thank you so much, Gigi.
What like are these for?
Their stationery selection like makes me so happy. So I think you can just like lean into your Virgo-ness and like plan and color coordinate.
Your scripts.
I like my scripts. Okay.
I literally talked about getting highlighters yesterday at a Japanese stationery store.
Oh my gosh.
And this I was like, I shouldn't be spending. They were expensive highlighters.
Oh, really?
So this is amazing. Thank you. I'm so happy.
I hope you use them well.
I
happy birthday.
Like them. I think my son will also like them.
That's
true. Yes. Yeah, so, that'd be good for
thank you very much. Oh, this is a great gift. There you go.
Yeah,
thank you so much. How about Jenny, what kind of Asian were you this week? This is gonna be real. Buckle up, everybody.
To get really real. I was gonna say something along the lines of whale watching Asian. I went to Cape Cod. I had an incredible time. I posted on my Instagram. I saw 40 to 60 humpback whales.
Amazing.
I literally had a spiritual moment where I was like, Earth is beautiful. And so as I was preparing to talk about that, kind of this morning I was broken up with on the phone on my way here. And I texted Mike and I was like, so I was just broken up with on the phone. See you in 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So I'm a little bit, I don't know how I feel. I'm going to try to break down what the vibes were so everyone can understand where I'm at.
Yeah.
But
so this is the fellow you were kind of seeing this summer.
Yeah, I was like we were like dating this summer, and for a myriad of reasons, I've never been the person who's like, let's not be super serious, but that was like where I became that person.
Yeah.
He was very, very nice. He is very nice. But because of kind of like his year and his what he went through, I was kind of like just circumstantially didn't seem like a good time to like to get in a relationship with him, that person. Mm-hmm. I was like, he needs to work on himself. Maybe I've made this joke to you, Mike, and Youngmi and Brian when I said, I don't think I'm dating. I think I'm a missionary. I'm like a mission spreading the good word of therapy among straight men.
Yes.
Like, I think that's what dating is for me, which is kind of like, you need therapy.
Yeah.
Like, every date is just me being like, and that's something you should consider with a therapist.
Yeah.
Like,
this date is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Yeah. Yeah. That joke literally came from this person.
That's amazing.
Because I literally was like, this is all very interesting. You need therapy.
Yeah.
So anyways, I think I was like holding him a little bit at arm's distance.
Sure.
But that was kind of like I think this is better for you and I.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
Absolutely.
And then this morning, kind of like out of nowhere, I got a call and it was like, I don't think we should date anymore.
Wow.
But here's the thing. I've never been broken up with like this where it was like a movie.
What do you mean?
It's like the classic, like, it's not you, it's me. Not that. It's not that. It's but it was very like, it's been a great time. I've had great, you know, it's been such a fun summer. I just don't think we're looking for the same things.
Yep.
But best of luck with your life moving forward. Like that energy. I've like, where I'm like being a real person. I'm like, well, I have a lot of questions. Like, and it just was like, yeah, I understand. I just don't think we're looking for the same things. Like, it was just like that for like 3 minutes. And I was like, well, I have to go to my podcast, so I got to go. And I was like, just like, whoa, what the heck?
Wow.
It felt like I didn't get any real like concrete answers. And it's also my first time where like I was completely blindsided where I was like, oh, I had no idea that like that's what he was feeling, because we've had conversations and I talk so much about this stuff like day to day what my feelings are, so like I was like, why didn't he say things like a little bit more as it was happening, sure. or like legit just tell me what you need and then like we can talk about it. There was just like little to no communication and then about those needs. And I was always like, la-di-da, like here's a song I like, here's what happened today. And then it was like, we need a breakup.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think I feel very like a little bit blindsided,
yeah.
but also fine.
Right. Because I feel, and listeners will kind of know that I don't think you were necessarily looking for something more serious, right?
Well, like I mentioned, like the place that he was in, I don't think would have been a healthy, serious relationship.
Yeah, sure.
With anybody. I mean, maybe he'll get into another relationship with someone else immediately, but I was like, that's like, to me, not going to be healthy. Because he has not addressed his core problems, which I won't get into here for privacy reasons.
Sure.
But I was like, I just don't think like, I'm like, I would love a serious relationship, but I was like, this, it just doesn't feel like if someone's like fresh out of like a relationship that kind of ended in a bad way, like I'm like, you got to deal with whatever that was.
Yes.
And like look into whatever that is and whatever your patterns are that led to that.
Yeah.
So that's what I said that multiple times. And he was like, yeah, I get that. And then it was just like, well, we can't see each other anymore.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere. Because he was on board until he was this morning.
Right, right. It's always a bummer to be broken up with, I feel, too.
Yeah, I think, like, I feel so bad if he's listening to this, but I'm like, I think it's less about this experience and more just, like, any feeling of rejection sucks.
Oh, yeah.
Getting an email from McSweeney's that's like, we are not going to accept this is, like, sucks because it's a rejection of you.
Right.
It feels like a rejection of you that you're not good enough.
You're getting rejected
feeling.
By the editor, which is him. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
We appreciate the attempt.
Yeah, exactly.
The editor of
I didn't laugh enough. Yeah.
Yeah. But I do think the other part was I was, like, thinking about it on the train and I was like, well, I don't want to be in a relationship with someone who can't communicate their needs in a healthy way, giving you an opportunity to work on that at all.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, we weren't a match.
Right.
He also said that we aren't a match. And I was like, how dare you? I can match anybody. In my head, I was like, I can match anybody.
Yeah.
If you give me the chance.
Right. But I feel it's so, you know, do you feel there was a Jenny that would have been like, no, we can make this work. We can really, you know, like do this. Because I feel now you know what you are looking for. And I think as I've heard you go through this relationship through the summer, you were very much about, you know what this is, you know what what your boundaries are, you know what you need from this person to make it work.
Yeah.
Do you feel that maybe there was a time that you wouldn't have known this and you would have been like, no, we can make this work. I could, you know.
Yeah, because he just like simply because he was nice to me.
Yeah.
But it felt good to have someone be like pretty obsessed with me.
Yes,
that
always feels
good.
That feels great.
Yeah, so I was like, for what it was pretty great.
Yes.
And I think literally if he had talked to me maybe an hour ago, I would have been raging.
Yeah.
But then in the 45-minute train, I kind of was like, okay.
Yes.
That also gives you kind of a little glimpse into how, you know, things, what our vibes were. But
yes.
That was my morning.
Yeah.
Like literally on my way here. I have had a busy, wonderful week. The other thing is, like, I realized I was, like, not prioritizing this person.
Because
I would pack my week, and then I would try to fit him in where I could instead of moving things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's, like, I was like, oh, that's also a sign.
Yeah.
Like, I'd rather hang out with my friends.
Yeah.
So, you know, no harm, no foul. I do feel a little frustrated that I don't get to say, like, my piece.
Oh.
Which, honestly, I might still say.
Yeah. Well, you have this podcast.
Well, I kind of said a lot.
Say it right
very
now.
Publicly
totally
to like hundreds to maybe thousands of people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can always write a letter too. You know,
I think I'm going to write a text. That's going to be very nice, but I think I'm going to be like, I think you need to learn to communicate your wants and needs like in a concrete way. I think he's a people pleaser. So like if you push back, he's just like, okay, that's right.
Yes, yes,
and
yes.
And like that, it's just like not, doesn't work if like, if you just like fold and you don't state your needs. And I think that's what I also learned. I'm like, I'm like frustrated because like I need someone who's gonna be like, no, this is what I want. And then I'm like, okay, great, then we can work on that.
Yeah, yeah.
But well, someone who like won't say it, what can you do? Just guess.
We're gonna have him on the podcast next week, and it's gonna be no, I'm just kidding. I understand that. But I think it's, you know, going back to my jiu-jitsu aggro thing. It's hard, I think, for a lot of dudes to articulate what they want.
I know.
Partially,
because
A,
they don't know what they want.
Yes, they don't know what they want. B, they don't have the vocabulary.
Yeah.
Or C, and I think this is a big one was a big one for me. They're afraid of actually what they want. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't want to actually confront those things. And then, therefore, they just go aggro in jiu-jitsu and grow a sweet mustache and crush the Vietnamese 40-year-old guy.
And they come back like, everything's great.
Everything's fucking awesome.
Yeah, dinner, yeah.
And now I'm going to break up with this amazing girl. Gigi, any thoughts?
Well, I feel like it's somehow harder when you were not as into them as and then they reject you because it's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I'm amazing.
Totally.
And then all of a sudden it's like, wait, am I not amazing?
Yeah. I think it is that feeling.
Yeah.
But then
yeah.
I also get it. Like, I was not putting in as much as he was putting in. That was like very unfair. But yeah, I don't know.
But it's, you know, it's fall. I feel like it's a good time. You know, it's transitional season.
Totally. Transition
like
out.
Love life. Yeah.
Hey.
People are feeling romantic.
Yeah, exactly. Time to get back out there.
Cuffin season.
It's almost cuffin season. The jackets are going to come out. I'm going to get a shag haircut.
Yeah. You're going to see Mike
cider.
With a vest on.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. Gigi, what kind of Asian were you this week?
Well, I guess that segues into I was Upper West Side Asian.
Oh, hey. Wow. Doing good. I thought you were a comedian who's broke.
Money. Well, yes, I am. I'm pretending to be an affluent white lady this weekend. So
we all are.
I'm Jennifer Smith. So I should mention, I recently moved, my husband and I have moved to Maryland in March because mm-hmm. We could no longer afford to live in New York City.
Oh my God.
So we're like, oh, we'll just move to Maryland and I'll commute from Maryland.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, well, not that I have like a full-time job, but I was
like.
Oh
man, goals. Goals.
I was like,
yeah.
Goals.
Goals.
But I was like, if we move, like I really want to make an effort to come to the city. So when Mike kindly extended an invitation to come on the pod, I was like, yes, I am there. And a family friend of ours let me stay at her apartment on the Upper West Side.
Oh shit, a family friend.
Wow. Oh my God, yeah, the hook up. And so like this morning I like went to Central Park and I had like a cup of coffee and I sat on the bench.
Oh, that's
and I was
the best.
Like, this is the life.
Tom
like,
Hanks was there.
Meg Ryan.
Oh
I was
my
Asian
God.
Meg Ryan. Yeah. And you could like hear that like Harry, what's yes. his name? Like yeah. the jazz guy. Harry. I want to say Harry Styles.
I was about to say Harry Styles.
Harry Styles.
Yeah. Harry Styles playing jazz.
Yeah.
So yes, I was very like Nora Ephroning it this weekend.
Nora
oh,
Ephron.
That's so great. Did you, yeah. where did you live when you did live here?
So we lived in like Prospect Heights / Crown Heights.
Okay. Oh, so you were in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brooklyn.
But so it's a different lifestyle.
That is a different
on
lifestyle.
On the Upper West.
Yeah.
It's not quite the same. Park energy too.
No, it's a different.
Park, it is really
Prospect
different.
Park is a beautiful park, great park.
I love yeah. Prospect,
but
park.
It's not the same as like
Central
you know,
Park.
Yeah, Central Park.
It is strange because I was
side.
Like the people kind of look the same, and yet it's just a different energy. It's like
oh yeah.
I was like noticing like this the fashion like. The women there have their like errand style down.
Oh,
it's like
oh shit!
It's like the sweater matches the cap, and they're wearing like leggings, but like everything looks very like. Chic and tidy.
Is it what were people calling it on the internet on the fashion internet? They were calling it quiet luxury.
Oh,
yes. Do you guys know about
yeah.
this?
No,
yeah, yeah.
Quiet.
I've never heard
I think
that.
Succession like made it
exactly.
Oh, right.
Succession,
like where you don't wear anything like obviously like luxury yeah. brand.
It
right.
it looks like it's from Muji, but it's from
Muji.
Italy, and it's like 500 times more expensive
right.
than. You know what I'm saying?
And it's yeah, like muted tones, like beige.
Exactly.
Tone.
Yes, exactly.
But like it's like
some
cashmere.
Lavenders. Yeah, everything's cashmere. You know, you wear it to get from your penthouse into the suburban that then takes you to the helicopter that takes you to the...
Right. To
the,
your meeting with...
To the meeting where you fight with your siblings
yeah.
for control of the media empire.
Right.
Back to the house in the Hamptons. That's the
yeah.
Thing.
That's yeah, quiet luxury.
Quiet luxury, yeah. That's the move. Yeah,
yeah.
I like this.
Those are, that's my fashion goals. Quiet luxury.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel that. What is your? If I may, what does your family friend do?
Well, she's 81.
Oh shit.
And she's still, I think she's still working. She was a lawyer.
Oh, okay.
And we, like, my husband and I jokingly refer to her as like our benefactor, because she kind of is. Like, yeah. She's so nice. Like, she would go to like all of our shows.
Wow.
Oh.
like a 9 p.m. show in Williamsburg, she would come out.
Really?
Whoa. That's from the Upper
so
West Side.
Nice. Yeah.
In her quiet luxury.
That's wild.
She was wearing Laura Piana in a Williamsburg comedy show.
I don't even know what that is, but I
know.
Think,
I mean,
yeah.
Either. I wouldn't even go to my friend's show at 9 p.m. at
Williamsburg.
Right? Hell
no. Like, I didn't even want to go to the show.
No, yeah.
Is this family friend Asian? Is
it? She's white.
She's white. Aha! I have to know.
Caught her red-handed.
No. This is not a gotcha, okay? I want to give a shout-out to all the white people who are, through their success, helping these Asian comedians live their best lives.
Literally, that's why I was at Cape Cod.
That's why you're in Cape Cod. That's why I was able to go to Maui. Okay?
Oh, really?
And that's how you're able to come here.
Yes,
so shouts to all the white people. Thank you so much, Jennifer
Thank
Smith.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jennifer Smith. You know where I'm recording this ad from? From on top of my Helix Sleep mattress. Okay, not really. I am in the same room as my Helix Sleep mattress. For years, I had those cheap, crappy mattresses you get from some big box store. And since I got my Helix mattress a couple years ago, I sleep better and recover from jiu-jitsu better. Yes, I managed to sneak jiu-jitsu into this ad. And from now that I've got my son, it's even better. We get to snuggle on there and read books, and it's awesome. He falls asleep on there all the time. Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, including the very fancy schmancy Lux collection. Helix offers all kinds of mattresses, from mattresses with memory foam for side sleepers to responsive foam for stomach and back sleepers. There's even mattresses for big and tall sleepers and for kids. Take the Helix sleep quiz to find your perfect mattress in just 2 minutes. When you're ready, your personalized mattress is sent right to your door free of charge. But don't just take my word for it. Helix offers a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15 year warranty to try out your new mattress. Check it out and go to helixsleep.com/Asian and enter promo code HELIXPARTNER to get 20% off. That's right. It's helixsleep.com/Asian. Promo code HELIXPARTNER to get 20% off. Life doesn't happen on a bi-weekly basis, so why does your payday? The money you earn can be yours today with Earnin. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. If I needed something like Earnin, it's what I'd use. And this is why. Earnin is simple, easy to use, and a fast way to get access to money you need immediately. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Asian under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show. Asian under podcast. Subject to your available earnings, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. I want to talk to you. You're like, I feel a lot of Asian comedians and actors, we kind of get into the industry, the work, like later on. Like for me, I got into, you know, realizing I wanted to do comedy like in my 30s, really.
Mm-hmm.
And Jenny, you know, you were
in my mid-20s.
You're mid-20s. But you went to a performing arts high school and wanted to pursue that.
Yeah.
First of all, what's it like at a performing arts high school? What is that? Ooh. Is it like what we're thinking in our minds?
Well, it's a lot of like, you hear a lot of piano playing. Like,
oh my god, yes.
It was kind of amazing. Yeah, everyone's like super creative, yes. Like so talented.
And also your parents were cool with you.
Oh, they were not cool at all.
Oh, really?
I had to like beg them.
Really?
Yeah, because I wanted to do theater and I think I said something like, well, a lot of the kids that go to that high school, they end up at Harvard. I knew like one person that went to Harvard.
Yeah, hey, that's a data point.
Yeah. But you gotta like data point.
Exactly.
I had like my PowerPoint presentation. So they were really like not on board. I don't know why they said yes, but I think I was like,
that's cool.
I must have like pressured them.
I mean, you did a great job.
It
worked.
Yeah. But it was, I mean, yeah, it was the kind of school like you go to math class and there's like a piano in the room and someone's playing like Rachmaninoff or something before class starts. Like it was really, really nice. But at the same time, it's like, you deal with the like, you know, the professional challenges that you have now as an adult. Like you are experiencing that at like 14, 15 years old, where it's like, why can't I get the lead role in the play?
Oh.
And then like me thinking like, is it because I'm not talented enough? But also like, I did not understand. I didn't understand like institutional like racism back then.
Oh, what?
Like, you know, how
I
like.
Know. Yeah.
But I will say like, so I went to school in Miami and, my high school, like, they were talking about, like, representation issues, like, before I feel like that became, like, part of the conversation. So, like, my junior year, the students were, like, saying, like, hey, the minority students were saying, like, we're kind of tired of playing, like, servants and maids. Like, you need to put on, like, more diverse shows. And so their answer to that was, like, okay, we're going to put on Rashomon.
Okay.
And I was, like, one of, like, three Asian students. In the theater department, so I was like, "Oh, I'm like a shoo-in."
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Okay, I booked already.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm just like, imagining just the three of you every role.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Every single role, it's just you three.
I was like, "Oh, so this is a solo show for me."
Yeah.
And so I like did the audition. I was like, "Oh, I know." I felt so confident, and then of course, I looked at the cast list the next day, and I was like, you know when you see your name at the bottom, it's not a good sign. So they had me like in the chorus.
Oh,
Rashomon.
Really?
And not only that, the people in the chorus, you had to wear like kabuki masks. Like kabuki
so you didn't even have any. Well, we can't.
That's
is it cool
so
if
funny.
We maybe you stand in the back.
But
yeah.
I was like, no one will know that you have an Asian student in this play. So it was like really.
What about the other Asian students?
Yeah, did they book?
they book. The other Asian student, like the director, like he like personally wrote a monologue for her.
Oh,
okay.
And she got to like open the play. So I was like, damn, I didn't even get that
role.
So yeah, it was like pretty. I was like, maybe theater is not for me.
Mm.
So I like didn't act. Like once I graduated high school, I don't think I acted for like 10 years.
Oh, really?
Really?
So you went to college for like whatever.
I went to college. I did like a couple of plays there and only would get cast as like in the chorus or like one big role. But I was like, I just thought I wasn't like talented enough. It didn't even occur to me like, oh, maybe they should be putting on the kind of plays where like I could have a chance.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So you didn't act for a while, and then what got you back into this craziness?
I guess, like, strangely enough, like, I guess maybe through storytelling stuff. So I, like, found out about the moth, and I found out, like, oh, anyone can just, like, go to a show and put your name in the bucket and, like, maybe get called on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, like, part of me is, like, I guess, like, I was born a ham, but I was, like, the idea of, like, oh, I can just, like, go on stage and, like, perform appealed to me. And then there was also something very empowering about, like, oh, I don't need a script. I don't need a director. I can just, like, tell, like, a five-minute, like, boring story about my life.
Yeah. Right.
And that's fine. And then through that, just, like, started writing stuff for myself and performing.
Getting published in all sorts of shit.
Yeah. That's amazing.
I love that.
Getting rejected for a decade. And
that's all about.
Yeah. I'm watching Gossip Girl right now, the original.
Ooh.
2007. And it's such a overwhelmingly white cast.
Yeah.
But one of the Blair, Leighton Meester's character, has like lackeys. And at the beginning of season one, there's one Asian girl, one black girl who's her lackey.
Yeah.
And I'm like toward the end of season one, but there's I just watched the episode. There are no other Asian people.
Sure.
But I just got to the episode about SATs.
Aha!
And all of a sudden, Blair's like person she's competing against is an Asian girl.
Oh, right. No.
named something insanely not a real name. It's like Yuki something. But like the last name is like not Japanese.
Yuki Mushi.
And I'm like,
Yeah.
But in the process of the girl who is her rival being a really good student, whatever, Asian, like model minority stuff, the girl who is on her side who's Asian is no longer there anymore, but the black girl's still there. Like her lackey.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
So I feel like they almost removed her to make room.
So they couldn't have like two Asian
I know.
Characters?
I literally was like, why is her one Asian lackey who was a mean girl all of a sudden disappeared the second she's like up against an Asian girl? And I was like, I think that's like what, you know, like your, oh, how dare she get, or like, oh, she's getting published and I'm not.
Yeah.
It's like
yeah,
the same mentality. I was like, oh, we can't have two like Asian people be against, one be mean and one be smart. Like, what
that's too
heck?
Complicated for
yeah,
white people,
everyone's
man.
Everyone's going to get confused.
They're going to be like, what? I don't get it.
I was just watching, and I was like, oh, they like, it's like plus minus, like plus one minus one.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
it's just
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, just they had to remove.
It's a one in, one out rule.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they added white lackeys to make the lackeys bigger. I was like, what is happening? Like, it's so crazy. But I was like, that's 2007.
Yeah.
Like, that was the mentality until very, yeah. very recently.
Yes, I agree. I was just texting with someone. My friend Ben, who, and he was talking how he's Korean, and so he was saying, "Oh, they booked me with another Asian comedian on the same show," and we're like amazing. we're like wow, they're so progressive. You know, it's like it was yeah, really fun.
The bar is still so low.
It is pretty low. Just here's where's the bar? Literally two.
Yeah.
Just that two.
Two.
Oh my gosh.
Two people.
Yeah.
That's all.
That's
was it.
It
Asian AF? Or
I know, right? Like, yeah. Asian AF. It was two Asians and everybody else was white.
Yeah.
And the two Asian comedians had to wear kabuki masks.
And stand in the back.
And stand in the back.
Oh my God.
That's gnarly. You had this really fun thing on Instagram recently where it was, this was on McSweeney's. This was a McSweeney's thing. And then I didn't see where you had posted it. So I saw it on Instagram. But it was on McSweeney's, and it says, you had a little comment. I went to a performing arts high school and lived to make this bingo card. Okay? And so you have this fun bingo card where it's like, you know, did you get all these things as a high school kid, right? And we're just I want to go through a few of these because I feel like they're so specific.
I feel so vulnerable right now.
Yeah, they're so specific. That I must be, that they must be real. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right,
there's
right,
no
right,
way
yeah.
that, okay, so, and whether or not you did them or not. And I guess we can all play. Because
sure.
I will tell you right now, I didn't get any of these.
I'm sure I won't.
Were
have
you
any
not
of
a
these.
Theater nerd growing up?
No, hell no.
No,
really?
Neither was I.
I was not.
But I was just having a conversation yesterday about how I wish I was.
Okay, that's
yeah.
that counts. That's close enough.
I wish I wouldn't have been in the shows, but I wish I did stage management.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh,
in black, just, like, okay. running around.
Like, always being stressed.
Yeah, like, having a clipboard.
I do love that the stage manager gets to stand at the podium and go, cue lights.
Yeah, I want to do that.
I think that's tight.
That was such a great impression. Yeah. Of a stage manager.
And cue swans.
Yeah, and it's, like, so,
swans
like, it's
up.
So important. Swans up.
So
swans
important.
Up
oh, my God.
And swans disappear. Yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's so stressful. Yeah, like I want to do that, too.
I want to feel you? That feeling.
it's like you feel like you have so much responsibility.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I wasn't stage manager, but I was, like, stage hand. So you're, like,
oh, running
the props.
Running
yeah.
around
yeah.
doing that.
I was like, oh, my God, what if the
and you're, like, in
me?
All black. And yeah, yeah, yeah. And you're, like, like, I gotta get the gold chair out in time.
I had to do that once for, you know, some culture show thing, and I didn't get off stage in time, and I just had to stand there and pretend to be in the scene.
Really? Are you for
like,
real?
Yeah, I was just
nightmare.
Like standing there, and then this is, you know, it was all Asian people, so, you know, I just blended right in. And eventually someone
know.
Got me. Someone came and got me,
oh
pulled me off.
You just like, stood there?
I was like, oh, what do I do?
That is so funny. I would have sprinted.
Oh yeah, I should have done that. Okay, so we're gonna play this bingo card game. I mean, you wrote it, so I assume that you did some of these. I like, for example, Cockney accent on stage. Did you do any of those?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah?
There was a lot of, like... I think I did Cockney accent off stage. You're always, like, doing, like,
yes.
weird accents, I think.
Can you hit me with some Cockney accent?
Oh, my God. I feel yeah. put on the spot. Are you caught the bottom, that man?
Oh, yeah. Yes!
That was, like, an old theater... exercise that we would do for some reason where they made us do a Cockney accent. I don't
really?
Know.
Yeah. Oh. That's one of the exercises?
I think so.
Like accent
yeah.
work?
It was like, oh, you caught the button on that, mom. Sorry, I keep saying it as if it will make more sense if I keep repeating.
What does
okay,
it mean?
But
what
I'm,
I think it's like, are you copper bottoming that, ma'am? oh my gosh, I forget. Like, there's like a remark that you say. Oh, there's like a part two, which I forget.
It keeps going.
Because I haven't done it since like.
Wow. Yeah.
School.
I mean.
No, I'm really confused.
I do improv, so I have done it. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I do it at home because it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Okay. How about this one? Let's see here. Sexually provocative use of a bowler hat. Wow. That's really good.
I feel like there's a lot of like pelvic. Where, like a lot of Bafasi stuff has like bowler hats.
Yes.
It's like near your pelvis.
Oh. Yeah. Like,
there's like a lot. Of, yeah. Yeah. There's like a.
Yeah.
Yes.
You got it.
Okay.
Wow.
I have not done that.
Are you sure you didn't do the musical theater because you got the like hip work?
Oh, yeah. I can do a lot of hip work, but that was just me being, you know, a little nerd.
Saucy.
Dancing by myself.
I don't even know where I am anymore. Let's see here. Late night tech rehearsal. That's pretty fun. That's a good one. I feel a lot of people have done that.
I've done that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That. Yeah. If you've done like comedy or UC, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, how am I going to get home? Like,
yes.
How am I going to get
it's
home?
It's 1 a.m.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see here. Horny for Sam Shepard.
Yes, we did a lot of Sam Shepard plays, and I think as like teenage girls, a lot of us were also like had mad crushes on Sam Shepard because yes. He's like, I think he's like pretty good looking.
Yeah,
he's pretty handsome.
Wow, yeah. This isn't even in high school. This is now.
Yeah,
let's see here. Hoping to lose virginity at regional theater conference. Huh.
Okay, skipping that one.
Really? Hey, no, whoa.
Well, I feel like anytime there's like an offsite.
Yes.
Thing like
yes.
When you're in high school, yeah. People just get like mad horny.
Oh,
I don't
know
why I keep saying that, but yeah, they're like,
no. But it's real.
Yeah,
I agree.
I say that like I went to any offsites in high school. That's co-ed. No,
yeah.
I only did water polo tournaments with my
Ooh,
team.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, and it was not that energy at all.
No, there's some weird thing happening here where I don't know. Culture has it wrong because the athletes I feel are the least horny. And actually, it's the drama and band students are the most horny.
Yeah, like the nerdy students, yeah.
Just talking about this.
Really?
Where I was like, at Berkeley, the people who like were hooking up the most were probably athletes.
Oh, for sure.
And band.
Band, for sure.
Mm.
Band. Mm-hmm.
Like, the freakiest stuff I heard was from my friend in band.
Yes.
Wow.
100%.
I was like, I lost my virginity like sophomore year, and I was like, that's okay. And how was it? He's like, I had a foursome.
What?
That's your first time? Okay.
Wait, this is in college?
Yeah, in college.
A foursome.
He had a foursome.
Well, I mean, they're used to playing in groups. You know?
They're comfortable.
Yeah.
They're
comfortable.
They know like, how to
we
coordinate.
Need someone from the brass
we
section.
Need, yeah, exactly. Yeah. We need to round out the whole thing. So get the tuba guy in here.
But can
wow,
you believe
a foursome?
That? And I was like, that's when I was like,
what was the composition?
Oh my God. It was three girls, one guy.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah, and I was like,
was your friend the guy?
Yeah, my friend was the guy.
Oh my God.
And I literally was like, oh my God, I should have done band. Like, I should have done. I'm just kidding.
I was going to say that too, but then, I mean, I would imagine that he would have finished in like 5 seconds and then the rest of the time.
You're just kind of watching. You're just like,
he's
there. Just,
he's like, I guess I'll set up the Wi-Fi now or whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Whoa, really?
But literally, that's when I was like, oh my God, it's really band
yeah,
and athletes.
Band and, yeah,
yeah.
I could see that. Okay, let's see here. Let's do one more. We'll do the free space. Tears.
Mm.
Just tears in general.
Just so much crying. I guess also in high school, just very emotional. I was very in touch with my feelings.
Really?
I feel like I was always crying in a bathroom stall. Yeah.
Was
everyone
or was it just you?
I hope it was everyone.
Oh, okay.
I think it was.
What were you crying about? Like
me.
Not getting the role?
Not getting the role. Not like my crush, I think, doesn't like me. Mm. Why am I so bad at pre-calc? Like, you know, like just normal like teenage emotions. Yeah, I had a lot of big feelings, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Did you watch Never Have I Ever? Have you watched that
yes,
show?
Yeah.
Yes. So I'm imagining how different were you in real life to the character of Eleanor Wong?
Oh.
When you watched Eleanor Wong, were you like, oh my God, it's me. Like feather boas and all sorts of like crazy like French.
That's so funny.
You know, kind of moods.
I wish I had her style. I think I was more like grungy, like moody teenager. So like a lot of like flannel and did like a lot of thrift store shopping. Yeah.
That's also a flavor of drama kid, I think.
I definitely feel
like Nirvana.
You're definitely going to stand out as a kid wearing flannel in Miami.
Oh my God, that's right. You're in Miami.
It's
you're
like
in
95.
Seattle.
Yeah, like people, like locals in Miami, we don't wear like tank tops and like, you know, colorful clothing. It's
really?
We dress very like moody, like black. And you can
really?
Tell like locals from tourists because like the locals try to dress like they live in New York City.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Okay.
The locals are where they're wearing like, oh, I'm gonna pull out the combat boots.
And exactly. Yeah, we're like, yeah. I mean, I had like the fake Doc Martens like from Payless.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's even more real.
That's actually the realest thing.
Oh, the realest thing is not to have the real thing.
Yeah.
Is to have the fake thing.
It's
that's more real.
Go to Payless and get the fake thing. Yeah.
Yeah. The realest move is fake Birkenstocks.
Yes.
That's real.
Yeah. Because
who's going to buy their kid like $150 sandals?
Yeah. No.
Fuck them.
Yeah. You're too young for that.
With your grades? No way.
The way you're doing in pre-calc? I don't think so.
The way you're doing in pre-calc?
So.
Wow. That's good. I love that. Well, that was a hope not too traumatic trip down memory lane.
Yeah. But I mean, I guess kind of, because I wrote that piece like in 2021 and I was so nervous about putting it online. I didn't put it on my Instagram until like yesterday.
Really?
Oh wait.
What? Really?
Yeah, because I like a
oh,
lot
yeah,
of.
Oh yeah, because this I just saw this, and that's why I was like, oh, this would be a fun thing to talk about.
Like I shared it on like Twitter when it first came out, but like I didn't on Instagram because a lot of my high school friends like follow each other, and I was like, oh my god, I don't want this to like bring up like old stuff. But so far they've been like cool about it, and they've just been like, oh, I cried too, and I was like, okay, good.
Whoa. are a lot of them like still doing performance and writing?
I think a couple of them, yeah, they're doing like TV writing and comedy writing kind of stuff, but I think like not a lot of people are still performing.
Okay. Fair.
It gets it also gets tiring.
Yes.
It is a lot.
I think that's why it's like good. Yeah. I think it's good that when people discover comedy and performing later in life, because it's like you're not as tired, I think.
Yeah.
I'm very tired.
It's still exciting.
Yeah. Anything, do you have any, you know, if you could go back to crying Gigi that's in the stall, anything you would tell her?
Oh my God.
Now,
yeah.
Ooh. From now, you go back and tell her.
Ooh, I would say keep all of your journals.
Oh.
You might
Did you throw them away?
I threw away a lot of my
journals. Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I feel like I confided in my journals a lot because, you know, I was a teenager.
Yeah, of course.
But I look back on my journals now that I keep, and I was like, oh my gosh, I forgot about so much stuff.
I know.
Yeah.
I look at my journals from 2 years ago and I forgot.
Yeah,
so
totally.
It's like, if I was high school, I really forgot. Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of the stuff, I tend to write about stuff when I'm feeling bad, but there was like a lot of good stuff that happened that like I recorded and I was like, oh, I'm glad that I remembered that or that I wrote that down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That's pretty good.
That's good.
Speaking of remembering things, we're going to
incredible transition.
Yeah. We're going to do a segment of DOS Race News.
Yeah.
And this is something y'all just told me just now, so I just looked it up.
But also, I kind of found out this morning.
And you also just found out this morning while being broken up with. So,
it's just a weird time
but
for all of us.
Gigi, you know about what's going on.
Well, I found out via text last night.
Oh, okay. Really? Okay, so we're all pretty. We have absolutely
we have no
information.
Context, no information.
Which is perfect, okay? That's why we're going to go right into this. Apparently, I guess, Hisan Minhaj, where is he? He was talking about. So, you know, he's a comedian and he talks a lot about his experiences and, you know, this is me growing up. And he's got a whole like special about being prom king. Right. And it's called Prom King. And it's like about, you know, the racial shit that happened to him when he was in high school. Mm-hmm. Right. And he comes out and recently he says that he admits that a bunch of the things he talks about are made up, or at least really embellished.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'll just read one from like a little headline from Variety. Hasan Minhaj admits to embellishing stand-up stories, including daughter's anthrax scare. The punchline, this is a quote from him, the punchline is worth the fictionalized premise. And already all sorts of people have all sorts of hot takes. You know it's a hot take thing when Fox News has a take on it.
Oh my God,
I don't even know if Fox News knew who Hasan Minhaj was, you know? but a lot of people have thoughts on it. You know, we're going to do no research into this.
Yeah,
okay?
Let's make that very clear.
Very clear.
Because I said, are we sure we want to do this?
Yeah.
I've read no things.
Yes. And I don't know. I have my thoughts here. A lot of people are kind of like, it sounds like Rolling Stone here says, Hasan Minhaj still one of three finalists to host The Daily Show after, quote-unquote, bombshell New Yorker story. Okay,
wow.
So I guess he told it on The New Yorker, and The New Yorker has this whole thing about, you know, he's...
His profile.
What he calls emotional truth. So for him, it's an emotional truth. What do we think? Is, you know, just like the idea of Do you know, a lot of comedians, they mine their history, they mine the truth, their truths for material. Does it matter if he embellished it? Is there a line for comedians or for any of these things where it's got to be truth, like the 100% truth or whatever?
Yeah. Well, what are your thoughts? You said you have some thoughts.
I have a lot of thoughts in that everything a comedian says is made up. Okay. It's completely made up. It's not like,
don't fact check.
It's great. Yeah. The person's a comedian,
right?
You know, recently I was talking to this other comedian, and he did a show with me, and I won't say who it is just because I think this person wants to kind of keep it on the down low, but he was telling a joke, and he has these really insane jokes where it's like really over the top as far as like what happens in it. Okay. And he gets into trouble with it, right? Mm-hmm. With some of the things he says. And he was doing this joke, and somebody got really mad and was like, you know, the audience member stood up and was like, "You shouldn't do that. Don't do that." Whatever he said in the story, whatever he did.
Okay.
And, you know, my comedy friend was like, "I didn't. This is fake.
Uh-huh.
This is not real."
Uh-huh.
And the person was still upset, right? And whatever, you know, we'll just leave that there. But I realized a lot of people... you know, I guess fairly or not fairly, think that this is completely true.
Right.
And most of my things are true, but it's not like, I don't know, you know, like I didn't, like when I talk about my son or when I talk about my wife or my family, it's not like 100% like, here's the citation.
Right. Yes, yes, yes. I agree with that.
Right. Yeah.
There's like hyperbole. Yeah.
There's hyperbole in it. Right. And there is some things that, for me, I can't do a joke where it's completely made up, because I have to feel it, right?
Yeah,
and I'm not a good enough actor or whatever to fake it. I've had one joke where I was like, this didn't happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of jokes, it's not like exactly what happened. But, you know, I have one where somebody, you know, I don't know, like somebody yelled Asian, not Asian at me across the street. Right. Mm-hmm. It was funny. Ha ha ha. But I changed how it went,
right,
so that it would flow. So am I a liar? You know? I guess that's the...
Yeah.
I guess there's one... On the one hand, it's like, of course this stuff is made up.
Mm.
But on the other hand, you know, stand-up comics, we mine our truths and our lives for this.
Right.
So does it mean something if... You know, in other words, like, do people... Do we take advantage of the fact that people think this is real?
And I think it was in the New Yorker or one of those like think pieces. Like, I think they made a good point, because with storytelling, the whole reason that people like it is because it's hinged on truth. You're mm-hmm. like counting right. on it being true, and that's part of the allure of storytelling.
Yeah.
So if it's not true, then, you know, where does it go?
Right.
Right, right.
I think, like, the reason why Fox News chimes in on this story
yes.
is because it's, like, about just once. I've never seen one of his specials.
Okay.
I don't really watch stand-up specials in general. I'm not, like, I just don't like stand-up that much. And I know his is different, but I just don't know it. But I'm assuming, just reading from that headline of what story made it in the headline,
yeah.
it probably was a story about, like, some sort of, like, victim of some sort of...
Racism,
something, right?
Yeah.
And I think the reason why Fox News chimes in is then they can use this as fodder and say,
right.
it's not real.
Right.
Like, people aren't actually they're just using it for content.
Yes.
I'm not saying that's, like, Hassan's fault, that, like, this is the society we're in, that, like, one example will be touted
yeah.
as an example that everything
yeah.
is wrong, not real. But that's where it gets iffy, where I'm like, well, then, if we are all saying everything's a lie.
Right.
For entertainment. Specifically when it comes to, like, discussing our experiences as a certain race or whatever, then it gets, like, weird.
Yeah.
And then it gets hard to, like, get people to listen to you and
yes.
be like, this actually happens and it sucks.
Right.
So I don't know. That part is where I'm, like, struggling with morally right now.
Right.
That's so interesting. Yeah.
Sometimes I feel people will change something because the truth is too sad.
Yeah,
you know?
I agree with that. But if it, like, is truly zero things happen and
right.
he made it up, then that's,
yeah,
like, to me, I'm
shocking.
Like, that's
Yeah.
Cool. Well, if it is like really actually like something happened and he just like fudged details, I'm also like, that's just like when you write a story, you fudge things, you know, like any, just to make things flow more, make it simpler or whatever.
Yeah, no one needs to hear like back and forth. Like I did this for 2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. Like plot. Yeah, and then I was like confused for a day. And then the next day, uninteresting, obviously. Yeah.
That's most of my stories.
Yeah.
Well, I just think you brought up an interesting point, Mike, also about how you can't tell, you know, jokes that are not based in reality because it's like hard to like act that out. And I feel like that's so interesting. I don't know how he did that because so much of storytelling, like when you're in a class or being coached, they'll ask you, like the coach will ask you, like, what did you see? What did you feel or hear during that experience?
Yes.
So it's like, how did he like make that all up?
Yeah. Right.
Sensorially.
Right.
Yes. I see what you're saying because especially with details, right? It's if you add in all these details and they're not real, then that undercuts like what you're trying to say, your message, I guess you could say. You know, again, in here he says, let's see, every story in my style is built around a seed of truth, which I think, again, this is a lot of comics do this. There's a little bit of truth in it, right? Just to kind of get going. And I think a lot of jokes, I don't know about for y'all, a lot of jokes start from... you know how Young Me has the hairy butthole podcast?
Yeah.
It starts in the butthole. If it makes your butthole go ow, then you start from there, right? Because you had a reaction, right? And it's less important what actually happened so much as long as I'm trying to make the audience also go, ah, my butthole. Do you know what I'm saying?
This is masterclass. Click comedy masterclass.
You know what I'm saying? You want to make them feel that's more important where they're like, oh, you know, I feel you rather than like these are the exact... Then this happened. Then the person crossed the street. And then, like, then I emailed my mom. You know, like, all those things are sort of secondary as long as the thing that made the butthole go is still there.
Right, right.
That's what, his son said it in a much better way.
I don't know. I think that butthole thing really connected with audience.
That really resonated.
Yeah.
You're speaking my language.
Well... We'll see.
I mean, we'll see. I'll read it. I'll read things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe I'll have a different take, but...
We'll see.
Well, I'm just mostly upset because in my storytelling classes, like, I'll include his stories like, in the curriculum. So now I gotta change it. Thanks a lot.
Are they all completely true, I guess you could say?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I hope so. Now I'm, like, gonna go back and, like... I mean, part of it is, like, that's why, like, for me it's so hard because it's, like, already as like a woman of color, I already like doubt like my narrative. It's like, did that really happen to me? Am I overreacting?
Right. Yes.
But I think that's why it's like so good to like check like on your journals or like look at your email history, like just like what actually happened. And I like a rule of thumb for me is like I try to imagine like if the people in the story were there at the show, would they also
say
concur?
This happened?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's such a good point. That's a good point.
But
yeah, because all of our realities are different too.
That's true.
Remember. Yeah, it's all Rashomon. And we're just wearing kabuki masks in the back.
We are main characters.
Yeah.
who might be lying every now and then.
Wow. Yeah, okay. Well, we'll see how this sort of plays out.
I know.
I'm sure it'll be fine.
I'm sure he'll be fine.
I'm sure he will be fine. I think it's at least an interesting conversation about when you're creating art, like how much of it is you or not you, or you know, how much of it is the craft,
truth or not. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
all my sketches are 100% true.
100% true.
I'll tell you that.
And I'll tell you all of my sketches play with the butthole. All right. So they all do that. Gigi, I want to say thank you very much for coming on to the show.
Thank
I hope you had fun.
Thanks for having me. I had so much fun.
Yeah. Was this worth the trip?
Was this worth
the vamoose and more the vamoose bus ride? And I hope you had a good birthday, Mike.
I know.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah. We're just going to be hanging out. I'm going to go to sleep at 9 o'clock and woo! It's going to be fan-fucking-tastic.
Wow. And I'll sleep at 9 o'clock too to celebrate your birthday.
We'll text each other. I'm like, are you going to bed? Yeah.
Yeah. We're our Ebenezer Scrooge, like nightcap. And it's like, good night, birthday boy.
Yeah. And I'll just
at 9 p.m.
Blow
out the candle.
And then it's like the slow shot of the neighborhood and everybody saying goodnight to each other.
Yeah.
Good night, Mrs. Wallace.
That's so sweet. That's the world I want to live in.
Good night, Toby.
Yeah.
Good night. I don't know. Yeah, it just keeps going. Good night, Santa Claus. All right. And, well, you know what? Good night to all of our listeners.
Yeah, go to bed.
We'll be back next week. Again, thank you very much for everything you do. Thank you for supporting us on the Patreon.
And, thanks to June, or else I would not have talked about
thanks
my
to June.
My
thanks
this morning.
You know, thanks for coming out to Hack Cities and all those things. We love you. Bye.
Bye.